Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you breathing out there? Praise God. Well, the title to my sermon today is Resurrection. And praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking as we were worshiping the Lord, don't be inhibited when you worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. You know, one time years ago, Sister Maxine, and this is before I get into my sermon here, Sister Maxine, she came to me and she said, Brother Oscar, she says, we're going to have the praise dancers come to church. And I said, oh, yeah? I said, that's great. And she says, has the Lord ever given you a poem about dancing? And I said, well, no, not really. And she says, well, I just would like for you, because she was coordinating this thing, she said, I would just like for you to share one of your poems when they come. I said, okay, I'll think about that. I'll pray about that. I walked out on the porch, and the Lord started giving me words to a praise dance about praising him in the dance, you know. And, you know, I think a lot of times we're too inhibited in this day. You know, the Jewish people were very, very excitable people. You know, they danced and they enjoyed themselves before the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what, there's nothing wrong with that, and that's beautiful. And I was watching a little girl there, and I was just thinking how beautiful that was. But she was enjoying herself and just dancing and stuff. And, you know, that pleases God. But I'm going to share the poem with you that he gave me. And, you know, it says, it goes like this. As David danced with all of his might, the response of the people was that of delight as they watched him spin and they watched him twirl. Watched him glide, then a pause, then a swirl. A smile on his face as the glory shone through. The ark was coming home. What else could he do? As the love for his God now bubbled inside. Without regard of those around or even his pride, he danced and he danced and he danced some more until the ark was in its tent, and David was sure that the presence of the Lord was now there to remain. So he went to his house, where it soon became plain, for his wife met him with a look on her face and sarcasm in her voice about what a disgrace. In front of all Israel, how could that be? If she'd only known God, then truly she'd see that David's love was expressed that day. And no matter how we praise him or how we pray, the only thing that matters is the love in our heart and if we are willing that love to impart. And if you feel like the Lord has you cut a rug, get out and cut the rug. If the Lord has you raise your hands, raise your hands. If the Lord has you clap your hands. You do whatever you feel the Lord wants you to do. And I tell you what, God finds pleasure in that. You know, I know one time when I was in church as a little boy, I must have been getting a little exuberant. And my mother, she reached over and she says, calm down, calm down. You know, and I'm kind of a peaceful type guy most of the time. I don't do a lot of, Mark can tell you, I'm not much of a dancer. So if I start dancing, you know the Lord's got a hold of me big time. But anyway, you know, she said, kind of calm down there, calm down. This lady in front, sitting in front of us, she turned around and chewed my mother out and told her, don't you inhibit that baby. You let him praise the Lord. And you know what? She said, God convicted me over that. She said, and I knew that I was wrong for doing that. And she said, I never did do that after that. And, you know, just praise God. However you feel exuberant to do it, do it. And you know, David was good at that, and David wrote the Psalms. He was a man after God's own heart, and he wrote a big percentage of the Psalms. And David wrote, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name, you know. And that's what really we should all do. So don't feel inhibited. If God wants you to dance, dance. If he wants you to raise your hands, raise your hands. Do what feels like good to you what God wants you to do. And don't think anybody's going to look at you strange or try to stop you or anything like that. I mean, we're not. I just want you to know that, you know. But I was just standing up here and I was smiling as that little girl was just dancing and the little boy. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm sure God was pleased with that. He's very pleased with that. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll get into my sermon now. I was going to tell you a joke, and I got to thinking maybe it wasn't a good joke for today. So I'm not going to tell you a joke today. But the title to my sermon is Resurrection. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to just pour yourself through this little sermon here today. Bless your people, Father. We're so, so glad that when they went, they found the grave empty, Father, because you were not there. Because, Father, you rose. You rose, Lord Jesus. You rose out of that grave. And now you live in each one of our hearts, Father, if we'll just accept that and just glorify you in our midst. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My first scripture is Mark 9:31 through 32. And here's what it says. This was Jesus talking to his disciples before the cross, before he was taken to the cross. It says, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after he is killed, he shall rise the third day." He told them exactly what was going to happen. But I like, first of all, where it says Son of Man. You know, Jesus, they wanted to stone him one time because he said, "Well, why do you want to stone me?" They said, "Because you make yourself out to be like a son of God." And he says, "You want to stone me because I'm paraphrasing here." He said, "But you want to stone me because I tell you I'm the Son of God?" He said, "Doesn't your own scriptures say that I have said you are gods to whom the word of God came and your sons of the Most High?" And, you know, but he called himself the Son of Man. And why did he call himself the Son of Man? Because he wanted to identify with us. He wanted us to identify with him as being a son of God so we could believe we're a son of God too. Scripture says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." And that's just not what that's what we become when we receive him. You know, Scripture also says that each seed is after its own kind. When you were born again of the incorruptible seed of God, that seed can only bring forth what's in that seed. And that seed is the Word of God. It can only bring forth God. So we need to quit pushing everything off into the future and start believing what God says about us today. And I'm gonna go ahead and read you my next scripture here. I'll finish this up. And it says, "And he taught his disciples, saying unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed, he will rise the third day. But they understood not what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him." Never be afraid to ask God about something that you don't understand. "Ask, and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." You take the first letters of those three words, A-S-K. What's it say? Ask. Ask. A lot of times Scripture says we don't receive because we don't ask. And if you don't understand something, ask God. Let him be the one. He's the teacher. The Holy Spirit, he sent the Holy Spirit into our lives to lead and guide us into all truth. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. Praise the Lord. My next scripture here is Matthew 7:7 through 8. And it says here what I just said to you. "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and to him that seeks he finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened." Okay. John 20:1 through 17. "And the first day of the week," this is after Jesus was crucified, so this deals with the resurrection. After Jesus had been crucified and they'd laid him in the tomb. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark unto the sepulchre. And seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre, then she runs and she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples came to the sepulchre, and so they ran both together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter. Peter must not have ran very fast. He must have been old. And he came first up to the sepulchre. And he stooped down and looked in and saw the linen clothes laying, yet went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went to the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head was lying there, and the linen clothes were wrapped together in a place of itself. You know, I told you the last time I spoke to you last year that it said that in another portion of Scripture, it said that the napkin was folded. And I told you that there was a tradition, supposedly, with the Jews, that when the master was sitting at the table eating, when he was done, he would just crumple up his napkin and throw it down. But if he was coming back, he would fold it and lay it there. Jesus was folded. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on here. It said, and Peter went forth, and the other disciples came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciples outran him at first. And he stooped down and looked into and saw the linen clothes lying, yet went not in. And Simon, then cometh Simon Peter following after him, and went into the and seeing the linen clothes lying there, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also the other disciples and came first to the sepulchre and saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Well, he had told them, but they didn't have ears to hear. And then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and she sees two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet where the body Jesus had laid. And they said unto her, Woman, why do you weep? And she said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seek thou? And she, supposing it to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence or taken him some other place, I'll put it in plain English, let me know where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And when he said her name, she knew who it was. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which means is to say master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And you know, Jesus had to appear to him a number of times. He appeared to her there. And then they were walking down the road to Emmaus, a couple of them, Cleopas and somebody else. They don't tell us the other guy's name was. And Jesus comes and starts walking down the road with them. And they don't know it's Jesus. And I've shared this in a sermon recently where, you know, God can appear to you in any way. He can talk to you out of a jackass if he wants to. And he can talk to you out of TV when you're watching a TV program. He can talk to you out of anything and everything. And the heavens and the earth, the scripture says, declare him. That's right. And you know what? He can talk to you any way. And he's walking down the road with them, and he's saying to them, well, why are you so sad, basically? And they're saying, oh, where have you been? Don't you know what happened? They said they took Jesus, he was our Lord, and they crucified him and did all this stuff to him. And then he begins to start expounding from Genesis up to the present time through the scriptures of what God has said in the scriptures. And they didn't. They just listen to him as they're walking down the road, and they go in and they get ready to have dinner. They invite him to come in and eat dinner with them. And when they get in there, he takes the bread and he breaks the bread and blesses it. And when he does, they know who it is. It's Jesus. And then he disappears out of their sight. And you know, a lot of people say, well, why did he do that? Why did he keep appearing and disappearing and why appearing and disappearing? I'm going to tell you, even with all of the teaching that they had sat under and all the beautiful things they had heard Jesus said, they were still children in the Lord. They were little children. And you know, when our kids were little and they were in their crib, their crib was in our bedroom at that time. And a lot of times when you went out of the room, the kids would cry because they'd know you weren't there. Well, what you would do is you would come and you'd stick your head around the corner and you'd say, boo, and then you'd be gone. And then they'd start crying again, and then you'd stick your head around the corner and you'd say, boo. And you know what? After a while, you were reinforcing in them, whether you see me or you don't see me, I'm here. And they'd quit crying after a while because they knew you hadn't left them. You were still there. And that's what Jesus was doing with his disciples here and with people that he kept appearing to himself to them in different ways. And, you know, he was playing peekaboo with them. And you know, and it's kind of funny when you think about it, but he was treating them like a little kid because you know what? They were little kids in the Lord at that point. But he had taught them a lot of things, but they hadn't received the full baptism of the Holy Spirit at that point. And you know, they had to go up into the upper room for 120 days, all of his disciples. For 120 days, they were in the upper room. And as they were in the upper room, I'm sure it took a while. There was 120 of them in that upper room, I mean. And I'm sure it took quite a while for them to all get in one accord. And I've shared you a sermon to you recently about being in one accord. And you know what? Once they got in one accord, something wonderful started happening. A great mighty wind come into the room, blew into the wind, into the room. And cloven tongues of fire set upon their head, and they began to speak with different tongues as they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I also said to you there was 120 in that upper room. And I'm sure what they were doing is praising God and worshiping God when they got in one accord. And you know, in the Old Testament, when Solomon built the temple, he had 120 trumpeters blow the trumpet. And when they blew the trumpet, then the presence of the Lord settled down into the temple. And I got news for you. When we get to the place where we get in one accord, you want to see mighty moves of God? You want to see miraculous things start to happen in our midst even? Let's get in one accord. Let's begin to praise God. Let's begin to worship God and not hold back. And don't worry about somebody's going to think you look foolish if you hold your hands up or if you whatever you do. Just praise God in the way that you feel like you're supposed to praise him. Praise God. And we might start seeing some really miraculous things begin to happen. Because I'm going to tell you what, his presence is inside of you. Know you not, you're the temple of God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And Jesus told him, he told the woman, he said, "Weep. Why do you weep?" And Jesus said unto Mary, and she turned herself and said, Rabboni, which means rabbi, is to say rabbi. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. In Galatians 2:20, it says this, and I think we need to keep this all in mind whenever we celebrate Resurrection Day, or if you want to call it Easter, you can call it Easter, whatever you want to call it, but it is Resurrection Day. And we celebrate that. But I want you to keep in mind this. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Beautiful. You're crucified with Christ. But that it doesn't stop there. Now let's read Colossians 2, 9 and 12. 9 through 12. And it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That's talking about Jesus. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the putting on of the body off of the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein you're also risen with him, and I'm going to emphasize you're risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says this, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Praise God. You know, that's all the scriptures I had to share with you concerning that today. But I want you to know you were crucified with him and you were risen with him. And when we have baptism, that's a type of us being born again, a type of us being born of the water of the Word of God. That's a type of us being resurrected. Amen. We buried that old life and that new life came up. And we need to start believing what the Word of God says. We are risen with him. We are able to sit with him in heavenly places. If we take time to pray and to seek God, we can sit right next to him in heavenly places. And he dwells right inside of us. So, you know, a lot of people, we tend to forget. I still hear people talking about a lot, and I've seen a lot of these things where people are prophesying about what's going to happen over in Jerusalem and all this kind of stuff. I don't worry about all that, but I will tell you this. The Word of God says, "Know ye not that you're the temple of God?" The Word of God says that you're lively stones. You're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I don't know if they'll ever build a natural temple over there. I don't know if it'll ever happen. I don't think it will, because the reason I don't think it will is, why build a natural one when you got a spiritual one, which is you? Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and his glory dwells in his temple, which is you. Everywhere you go, he goes. Everything you do, he's with you when you do it, whether it's good or it's not so good. But I want you to know he's there with you. Praise God. Now, we're going to do that's all I had to share with you this morning. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bless this word. I ask you to help us to realize we've been crucified with you. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I, but Christ lives in us. And Father, help us to realize too that we've been risen with you. We've been raised up. You cause us to rise up and sit in heavenly places with you. We have to start believing what your word declares. Quit looking for something to happen way out in the future, and start believing today if you'll hear his voice. Today. Walk with him today. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, or 2 weeks from now. Walk with him today. And if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. It says they didn't enter into rest because of unbelief. And I don't care what you're struggling with today, you can enter into his rest if you'll just believe and declare what his word declares in you. Praise God. if I could get some people, we're going to have communion today. So if anybody wants to take communion, you're welcome to take it. And I'm gonna read you some stuff here. And you know, the Passover meal, where Jesus symbolically offered himself as the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He was and is the Lamb of God. Luke 22:14-20 says this. It says, And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks. And he brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we've heard sermons in the past about remembrance, remembering. When you remember something, you put it back where it belongs. Okay? Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after the supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Okay? And if you guys will stand, we will go ahead and take the elements, and we'll have a word of prayer as we do that. As everything's passed out, let me have one there. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you. Father, in Jesus' name, as we take the elements of this communion, we know that this is a physical communion here, but I let it turn into a spiritual communion. You said that you are the bread of life. You are the bread that came down from heaven. You said Moses gave them manna in the wilderness. And you, I don't know if you've ever seen the word manna and actually looked at it. It's spelled man. He gave them man in the wilderness. That's what it's called. Because you know what? He was going to come as the bread of God. He was going to be the real manna. And you know, Father, we just thank you that life, we partake of this bread first. And Father, it's a type of you. You are the bread that came down from heaven. You are the spiritual bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Father, now we take the wine, a type of the blood of Christ. And this was your very life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. I ask you to bless your people as they go forth. Let them have a wonderful time of fellowship with their families. And I ask you to just keep your hands of love and mercy on them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.